Well, Lord, help us to arise, to be awake. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God. I'm thankful that we can depend on Him, that He certainly will do His part. He even gave us the invitation or the challenge, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. Scripture teaches us that the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Sometimes the Lord inspires and gives messages to, I believe, encourage and inspire our hearts to press on. And there are other times that the Lord comes along with reproof or with correction. I have a message from the Lord today of warning for us. And I pray that the Spirit would accomplish the Lord's will through His Word today, that we'd be able to get from this what He'd have. I'd like to consider the idea of boundaries this morning. I'd like to begin in the book of Exodus, the 19th chapter. Desire your prayers. Exodus chapter 19. We'll start in verse 7. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord hath spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, and touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." The Lord wanted to impart something that was very important for the children of Israel, and that was the fear of God. That your God is not like the gods of the heathen. It's not a God that you go up and you offer a little offering to, and He doesn't have eyes that can see you or ears that can hear you. But the God that you're dealing with is the very God of heaven. And He's not a God to be trifled with. Whenever He gives you instruction, and whenever you're able to see, and the veil is pulled back a little bit, to see the awesome holiness of God, that it brings within your heart a fear and a certain trembling within, that I don't want to transgress against such a God. He gave instructions unto the children of Israel that there are some things that are to be considered clean and unclean. And I'm going to draw a very clear distinction between the two, that you know that this is not to be partaken of in your life. You're not to go here. You're not to eat of this. And there are types and shadows that we have to understand of the Old Testament to the New. But the idea the Lord was trying to get across to them is there is a difference that you're to put in your life between that which is unclean, not by your determination, but by God's. That you put a separation and a distance between you and those things. That you have a clear understanding of the difference between the two. To the priests, don't drink strong drink, that you might be able to discern the difference between the two. It's important for you and vital for you to be able to have sound judgment To know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. There are so many souls today that are drunken in our world that can't tell the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. But that's prevalent in our world today. It's important for us to be able to make some clear distinctions. In a world of gray, it's important for us to be able to distinguish between good and evil. We said unto them, and there's, I believe, spiritual imagery in this for us today. You could go into Hebrews where it's talking about, we've not come today unto a mount that can be touched and burned with fire, but we've come unto holy Jerusalem. There is a spiritual application of this for us today. But he said, don't break through. Don't go and touch this mountain. So great is the holiness and presence of God. You tell these people who are yet in their sins, they're not to break through and touch this mountain. If you've ever been to the mountains, I want to ask you, where does the mountain start? How would you say, this step I'm not on the mountain, now I'm on the mountain? Understand the question? Many times, mountains involve a little bit of a gradual slope of increase that gets steeper and steeper. But the Lord said, if you touch the mountain, you're going to die. Whether it's you or your beast, if you touch the mountain, the penalty of that, the consequence of it, is going to be death. Why should that work within their hearts? A fear, a respect, a recognition that I don't even want to get close to that boundary. I don't want to live my life just straddling the edge, as close as I can get to the edge, where I can technically say in my mind, well, I'm not on the mountain. You ever hear children play little games like that? I'm not touching him, and just millimeters away, I'm not touching. I don't want to play games with my soul. When the Lord says there are some things that you need to draw some boundaries on in your life, to be able to recognize that there is still evil today, that there is still sin today, even though it's prevalent and abundant all around us, Lord, help us not to become so desensitized by its abundance that we become numbed unto it, and that sin lose its exceeding sinfulness in my sight and to my heart, that sinfulness that I recoil at the very thought of it, at the sight of it, that there's something repulsive about it. The scripture says, let your love be without dissimulation. Let it be real. Let it be true and genuine in your life. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. That's not a wishy-washy in between. We need to have a love for the Lord that is so fervent and intense in my heart that it works a repulsion against the things of this world that are evil and corrupted to the core of it. That there's something that we're not talking here a little bit of an attraction that kind of draws me to it. Lord, help me to have in my heart a repulsion against the things and the ways of sin. That I'm not living my life trying to rationalize in my mind just how close can I get to the line. Well, I can argue that it's not in black and white what I'm doing. You can't convince me that what I'm doing is sinful. Lord, help us today to realize the importance of boundaries. It was important for the children of Israel for the Lord to come along and to mark out Tell Moses, you put a physical boundary here of some kind. You delineate and draw out. This is the line. Don't cross over it. The law is, the rule from the Lord is, don't touch the mountain. If you want to please the Lord and if you value your life, you draw some boundaries here that keep you from the danger of losing your balance and stepping over on the other side, wandering or straying a little too close to it, allowing your curiosity to be piqued, where you get a little closer and a little closer and a kind of stick your foot over it. And no, he said, draw a boundary. You draw a boundary that in my mind is a little bit this side, the side of safety, away from that exact place where the Lord's judgment would fall. Now I want us to get what I believe is the burden from the Lord this morning. It's not about mountains. It's about places in our lives where I'm going to have to draw some boundaries. It's about recognizing that there are so many influences in this world. There are so many things in this world, and I'm going to say, that have become so interwoven into the fabric of society that is corrupt. You don't have to go to the sleazy part of town. It's right all around. We're going to have some boundaries that I draw and say, I'm not going there. I know that there are things that are going to cause my spiritual damnation, that are going to cause me to lose my life spiritually. The enemy wants to get us into a numbed state, where I don't think of the urgency of it. Where because evil abounds, the love of many begins to wax cold. That's a process. Little by little, I start to lose that fervency of abhorring that which is evil. It starts to seem not quite so despicable. I'm not going to partake in it necessarily. There's a little poem or saying. I don't know if I can draw it back. Vice is a monster of so frightful a mien or an appearance as to be hated needs but be seen. Yes, seen too oft, familiar with her face, we first endure and then pity and then embrace. There's a process. There's a journey, if we're not careful, that the enemy wants little by little by little in our lives to encroach. And I want us to anchor that little word for a while this morning. He wants to encroach on the boundaries. That means little by little to take what is not his, what is not supposed to belong to him. It is to intrude by gradual advances, to creep onto, to pass the proper bounds. The enemy wants to encroach on boundaries in our lives and in our hearts. Those places that the enemy might appeal to for you might be a little different than the ones he tries to appeal to within me. But every one of us can know that if we want to make heaven our home, we're going to have to be intentional, purposeful. We're going to have to set some boundaries and say, I will not, by the grace of God, cross over this line. I will not go further than this. This is as far as the Lord would have me to go. I'm going to stop right here. Boundaries. I want to remind us of a simple, foolish man. Read about in the 7th chapter of Proverbs. This applies to many different aspects of life. This is one aspect and others which I'd like to consider. Proverbs 7, won't read the whole story here, but no doubt you will remember it. Read the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in discretion. The scripture doesn't explicitly spell out who her is, doesn't identify the subject, not yet. It's pretty clearly implied as you read throughout this passage that this was someone that this young man had no business being in the vicinity of, no business being near her house. But it said he was a simple man. The foolish, the scripture says, the wise foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple man or the foolish passes right on by the warning signs and is punished. This man went, turned down the corner, down the street where she lived. And he went right by the darkened corner where she stood. And he allowed all the warning signs should have been there. If you wouldn't just be so simple. There's warning signs, but like an ox, he was led to the slaughter. Like a bird caught in the trap. The question in relation to this topic of boundaries is this. Just how close should he have come? Should he have been on that street? Should he have taken a detour and said, you know what, it might be a few more steps, but I'm going the long way around. Boundaries. Realizing that there is a place that I could be led as a sheep or an ox to the slaughter. Whatever that might be in my life, the enemy, rest assured, maybe that's not the right phrase, but be confident of this thing. The enemy has a trap for every one of us that he wants to ensnare us in. And the Lord is so faithful that if we'll allow him to write his law in our hearts, he wants to draw some boundaries in our lives that protect us from such situations. Think about a man that had some boundaries in his life. Boundaries that weren't mom and dad's boundaries. Boundaries that weren't just what were expected by the majority of my people. But boundaries that kept a young man when he was sold into slavery in Egypt. Boundaries that caused him whenever there was opportunity, whenever there was temptation, whenever there was an appeal and an allurement that caused him to ask this question, how could I do this great wickedness against my God? There's a boundary that I have here. I'm not sticking around. We're not talking about this subject. I believe you know the story I'm talking about. No, Potiphar's wife, we're not talking about it. You can grab hold of me. I'll leave my coat. I don't care. I'm desperate to run for my life, to draw some boundaries in my life. There's a reason why the scripture says of some things, don't stand around, don't play around with it. Don't just skirt the edges of it. Flee fornication. Run for your life. Draw some boundaries. Joseph did. Daniel drew some boundaries. Oh, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what the expectation is. This is a line that I will not cross. The Lord said, don't partake of this. He called that unclean. It's not part of my diet. There are some things that need not and must not be part of our spiritual diet. And the world says, you gotta, you must. You can't fit in if you don't. How are you gonna make it? We're gonna have to have some boundaries. Where we draw some lines and say, I am not willing to go beyond this boundary in my life. What about boundaries? You know, boundaries can feel like bondage. Boundaries can feel like they're just imprisoning me. I can chafe at boundaries. Why do mom and dad, why does the church, why is the preacher always talking about the letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life? There is a transition between what we're reading about here in the Old Testament and to the New, where Jesus said, "You have heard of old time, but I say unto you," I want to go down right into the heart matter. I want to get right into your affections and what you allow your heart to go after. And I want to deal there, in that place. In that day, he said that his law would be written on the tables of our hearts. That represents where our affections and our love is. In other words, the Lord wants us to do what we do out of love for God. Not out of fear of what somebody else says or requires, but that I fall so in love with Jesus that I say I want to draw some lines in my life that I don't want to even get close to what would be offensive to my Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We shouldn't live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us." The love of Christ is what is to constrain our hearts. So you know the answer to the boundaries question. Fall in love with the Lord. You know, when we focus on our love for the Lord and keeping that fervent, that's going to take care of having this abhorrence for evil and cleaving to that which is good. And the result is going to be in my life that I start drawing some boundaries of things that I'm not going to cross over because of, as a result of, my love for the Lord. The Spirit gives life. The letter kills. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, familiar scripture. It says in verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." It's not about then my rationalization in my mind. You know, you can't really say this is so wrong. There's nothing sinful per se about this. And if I'm not careful, little by little by little, I take one little baby step closer. And then your mind says, "Well, what's the difference between where you're at and this little baby step right here?" Well, it's just about the same. Well, what's the difference between that and this little baby step right here? You understand how by gradual degrees, little by little, I start to allow the enemy to encroach on my life, to choke out my spirituality, my walk with the Lord. Not everything is expedient for me. It's not good for me. It's not conducive to my spiritual growth and health. So should there be places in our lives that we draw lines to say, I may not be able to say this is sin, but you know what? I have found that it depletes my spirituality. There's a boundary that I'm drawing here. Lord, I want to please you. Lord, my purpose. Do all that you do to the glory of God. Lord, I want to glorify you. And I want to do in my life those things that are going to help me along the way of my journey to heaven. So if you'll bear with me and love me for a little while this morning, I want to address some boundaries. Want to look at Psalms 101 and 3. Want to think about the wine that this world is drunk on. The wine that is made available through so many avenues today. I'm not talking about what comes from grapes. That can be addressed as well. I'm talking about the drunkenness of entertainment. Psalms 101, in the third verse, it says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Sounds like a boundary to me. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Do you know there are going to be all kinds of things that flash before our eyes? If you're going to go out into the world as Jesus really commanded us to do, now, he didn't go say, go down to her corner. There are places that wisdom and expedience would teach me to avoid. But if I'm going to go out and live life, I'm going to live it among those that are not redeemed and all the things that they carry along with them. Thank the Lord he can keep us. He has grace for those things that are presented to me. This is talking about making a purpose in my heart. Drawing some boundaries in my heart and in my life. It says, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before me. We can live and we can preach in the realm of the theoretical. Sometimes I dwell more in that than I do the practical. You know, I'll tell you, for us, it's meant some boundaries of the things that I have to say. We're going to draw a line here. We're going to draw a line here, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going to find a television in my home because of the boundaries based upon the principle of this scripture. We're going to have to understand that there is principle in the Word of God that is taught. This is one such principle. It says, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before my eyes. I'm not going to make that choice that I'm going to imbibe something of wickedness before my eyes. So knowing that, what's it mean in my life? I'm going to have to draw some boundaries then on what that means. There can be debates, and from time to time, those debates crop back up. Should the Church of God really be teaching against things such as that? Come on, we're past that now. I'm going to tell you, I haven't found anything needful on the television that we can't live without as the saints of God. I find the prevalence of what comes across it rather to the contrary. What are we making our diet? What are we setting before us? But it's not just cable programming. The debate is gone on for years with some people. Well, let's see, it used to be VHS and DVDs, and now you can get it by subscription. You don't even need subscription. You can get it on the free version of YouTube. Am I partaking of the very same things that maybe I've set some boundaries in other areas? Lord, help me to discern, what am I setting before my eyes? It can be on a phone. It can be on a computer. It can be on a television screen. I've got to be in a place that this is about my relationship with the Lord, and I am desperate to make heaven. I'm going to have to draw some boundaries that says I'm not going to cross over this with the things that we watch, the things that we entertain ourselves with. If we're not very careful, those things that we watch and entertain ourselves with will begin to numb us to the wickedness that's around us. There was a time that television programming, it would have been scandalous to even have a suggestion of some of the things that are openly flaunted. Where's the protest? Where are the folks out picketing on the streets because of the filth that's coming across programming? We're going to have to draw some boundaries. Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? There's some boundaries then that I've got to draw between me and the Lord to say, Lord, I want to keep out of the fire. I want to keep out of the coals. I don't want to be burned. The scripture says, be not conformed to this world. The world's ways of thinking and ideas of what is entertaining, if you see the masses of the world flocking to it, as a saint of God, if we're on the straight and narrow way, you better take a real close look. What is it that's drawing so many multitudes to it? Lord, help us to not be conformed unto this world, unto this world's systems. No man that warreth, I'm just going to refer to some of these scriptures, 2 Timothy 4, 2 and 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, there are some things that require a level of energy, a level of passion, and a commitment of time that I don't have to spare. Mentioned to you, running, observing very closely those things that the world flocks to, those things that can fill stadiums to overflowing. You better look real carefully. Is that something that I need to be making a part of my diet spiritually? Whether it's sports, concerts, all those things that would attract the masses of the world, be not conformed to the world's ways of thinking, to the world's systems. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's going to take drawing some boundaries for us to even maintain a sense of balance in that which is arguably wholesome or innocent. Because if I'm not careful, I can begin to entangle myself. My time. If I'm not careful, I can find... Your phones also tell you how much screen time you've used. You know, if I'm not careful, I can begin to get so entwined with all the notifications, with all the things that appeal unto and draw and demand my attention. Yes. To where it can get to the point I can't even stop at a red light without having to pull my phone and check four or five different things and people honking behind me because I'm not watching the light and it's turned. You see how easy it can be with the abundance of, and I'm not preaching against technology. I'm preaching, Lord, help us to have boundaries in our lives. Lord, help us to have a clear discernment of what is truly edifying and what is detrimental to my spiritual welfare. I'd like to look at 1 Timothy, the second chapter. We think about boundaries. 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Is this exclusive to the women? Can the man go and behave themselves in a way that is not according to a man professing godliness? Is it possible for a man in his appearance to represent that which does not profess godliness? Yes, it is. So Lord, help me to understand and to know, and for each of us and for us as the church of God, that we be able still in 2025, when the enemy is trying to encroach. You haven't heard this very recently. I believe these things are good for us to consider. When the enemy would begin to try to encroach little by little by little, where people's lines begin changing and gradually, little bit at a time over the years, begin eroding out from under them. Lord, help us to examine, to consider. Lord, am I meeting the spirit of what you're trying to portray here? That you want a modesty, that you want a shamefacedness of appearance, and that really goes beyond appearance, but what testifies to the condition of a heart. that my heart in its humility wants to present that also on the outside, that it's not about how much I can show off to get people's attention or to be able to fit in to the world around so that I don't quite stick out so much. You know, holiness is not about making you different. Holiness is about recognizing a difference that's already been made in our hearts. And it's about drawing some boundaries that protect that difference that's already been made in the heart. So it's not that we're going to go around and say, all right, we're going to have a certain style hat and everybody's going to wear that hat so the world can tell you're different. No. Holiness in the heart, a love for Christ in the heart will make you different from the world around. Don't be ashamed of that difference with shamefacedness. We understand from after the fall in the garden, when Adam and Eve went and tried to clothe themselves with fig leaves, that the Lord looked at that and said, it's not enough. And He went and He made them coats of skin wherewith He clothed them. So I can realize that there is a boundary that I'm going to have to draw one side of it, or at some point the Lord's going to say, I don't accept that as being covered. I don't accept that as being a modest standard of your appearance. So I'm going to have to draw boundaries in my life. All right, the Bible teaches the principle and doctrine of modesty. What is that going to look like in my life? And we can get then into, we're talking about boundaries, we can get into quibbling about, okay, where should that sleeve length be? Come on, don't be legalistic. You know, we cannot afford to be legalistic. Folks, I got to have something in the heart. And when we preach and teach the Word of God, it should not and must not just be, well, this is what the Church of God teaches. Suck it up and deal with it. This is what you're going to have to conform to. No, this is what the Word of God teaches. Lord, help me that my heart would be, Lord, if You say You're pleased with that, that's exactly what I want in my life. Whether it's a skirt length or a sleeve length, would we be comfortable with our men's pants being the length of our women's skirts? Something to think about. There are some people professing godliness that follow the same standard between the two. You know, this teaches not only what we have covered, but it teaches a simplicity of dress. And that's something, if we're not careful, can begin to seem trivial, can begin to seem antiquated. You know, there is a certain appearance that the Lord wants His children to have that is not that which is the flashiest and newest thing on the block that everybody noted, whoa, when they come through the room, I see it. There is a certain simplicity that modesty of heart will bear out in our lives. So again, we come to the point of, well, where's the boundary of what simplicity means in my life? And I'm not here to prescribe all of that for you. I'm here to urge us that we get a hold of the Lord and say, Lord, help me. That I'd love You with such a fervency that I'll say, Lord, whatever You suggest in Your Word, Lord, I want to draw some boundaries that I not cross over that. The Scriptures teach against the wearing of jewelry. I can argue about the use of jewelry or what it represents and what it means in my life. Or I can say, you know what, there are some boundaries that I choose in my life I'm not even going to cross over, because the thing about boundaries, when you move them once, you can move them twice. When you move them twice, you can move them 10 times. Where are you going to draw the line? At some point, we're going to have to draw a line. And it's not going to be where the world draws the lines. It's not likely going to be where the majority of Christendom today draws the lines. Lord, help me to draw wholesome, godly boundaries in my life. Lord, if You teach against jewelry, should I be wearing something that looks like it on my clothing or in my hair or on my shoes? Or these are things for us to consider when it comes to what am I presenting before this world? Lord, help me to draw some boundaries of carefulness in my life when it comes to these kind of places. John Wesley taught a lot on appearance and dress, and supposed Methodists would consider him the founder of their movement. You look at where they're at today, look at what he taught at the time. He taught again against much of very specific about things and items of dress and things like that that he dealt with. And he addressed one time in one of his messages the objections that he was hearing. That's trivial. It's not important. It's so little. Quit fussing about it, in my words. To which he replied, "You're right. It is trivial. So why is it so important to you? It is trivial. So why are you contending so strongly for it? Might it not be something that out of devotion for God, I say, Lord, I might be able to look at it and reason, oh, I could probably draw the boundary a little bit closer to the mountain. Lord, help me to draw sound boundaries in my life." I want to think about our integrity for a moment. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 17th verse. Romans 12 and 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Well, we know that all liars have their part in the lake of fire, and well, I surely don't want to tell a lie. You know, there's some boundaries that I'm going to have to draw to what honesty looks like. And I'll admit to you, sometimes there are areas that are so gray that I say, I don't really know. Lord, help me to know. I'll give an example. In some places going abroad where the prevalent culture is so hostile to Christianity and the authorities and the laws are so hostile to Christianity that we have to be very careful in what we say. And I often ask and say, Lord, help me to know. I don't want to have guile in my heart. Lord, I don't, even in the name of your work, to have deceit in my heart. Lord, give me wisdom to know how to be truthful and yet to be as wise as a serpent. You know, if we're not careful, there can be little encroachments. Oh, I was just kidding. Oh, you know, I didn't really mean that. I'm not trying to put us into bondage. And if we are guided not by the letter but by the Spirit, we won't be in bondage. It is, I trust, a stirring for me to look at myself and say, Lord, are there places that I've started getting a little careless? Are there places I've started getting a little loose? Well, technically I was telling the truth. Technically I didn't lie. Well, but did you mislead? Did you say something with the intent of trying to convince them to believe something else? With our taxes, so many loopholes and gray areas, and I'll be the first one to say, I'm not signing up for anything more than what I need to give when it comes to Uncle Sam. But I also have this requirement as a child of God that I be above reproach. And that if I were to be audited, I wouldn't have to hang my head in shame because of my profession of being a child of God. That I live my life in such a way that it is above board. You know, there are things that we can look at and it seems ridiculous. And it requires a personal integrity. Lord, help me to know what those boundaries are. Because I don't want to allow... Boundaries prevent erosion. When I put some stakes in and say, you know what, there's some boundaries that I have. And we're going to have to realize that sometimes other people's boundaries may be in a little different place than where mine are. Lord, help me to draw some boundaries in my life that I not allow a continued little by little encroachment or erosion in these areas. The Scriptures teach us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You know, there's some boundaries that we're going to have to draw. Because this old flesh, there's going to be plenty of times this old flesh says, nah. There's going to have to be some boundaries that I draw. And again, it's not a thing of bondage. Thank the Lord, He is so understanding and loving. But you know, the Lord also understands my heart. And He knows the tendency of the flesh is going to tend towards pampering the flesh. And there's some boundaries that I'm going to have to draw. I am thankful that my parents drew some boundaries for us children, for our family. If we're not sick and good Lord willing, we're able, we're going to be there when the doors are open. And it instilled something within me, and it was helpful to me in my life. Boundaries that we're going to have to draw. Boundaries on our time. We all have only 24 hours, and again, there are so many things demanding it. We're going to have to draw some boundaries to preserve time needed for my soul. If I don't draw some boundaries, there are going to be things that just encroach more and more and more and choke out the Word of God. Drawing some boundaries in our time. I want to think about giving to the Lord as an example. Old Testament teaches tithing without taking the time to prove it. The New Testament teaches a heart system of tithing. The New Testament teaches whatsoever you have is the Lord's. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver, and according as every man purposeth in his heart, let him give. It's not a prescribed number or percent that the church is going to exact of you, but as the Lord lays on our heart, I'm going to give that. You know, there's also scriptures that teach us that we are called unto liberty. Thank the Lord for liberty in Christ. We are called unto liberty, but use not liberty as an occasion of the flesh. In this particular subject, you see how the flesh can get in? Well, you know what? Not this month. You know what? Not this paycheck. I really wanted to go buy this thing over here. I'll try to do it next month. Well, I'm really tight right now. I'm hoping that I can get into a place in the next couple of years that I'm doing a little better, and I'll be able to do a little more for the Lord, or giving a little more for the Lord. Boundaries. And I'll share with you, without the specificity, some boundaries that we've drawn. This is for us. That we've drawn a boundary of a percentage that we're going to give to the Lord. Because I know how the flesh is. And I'm going to draw a boundary that the flesh does not encroach past this point. And if the Lord asks for more, Lord, it's yours anyway. But I'm setting a minimum. I'm setting a boundary on the old flesh that I'm going to give at least this to you. And that principle, I believe, applies in so many areas of our life, with our time, with our money. Lord, help us to set sound boundaries. I want to close now in this 22nd chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 22 and the 28th verse says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." I believe as Jeremiah also we read, says, Stand in the way, the paths, and ask, where is the good way? That brings peace to the soul. Lord, that's what I'm interested in. And in a time, in a day and age where there's so much that's changing, even in people's lives, standards that are eroding, convictions that are being lost, Lord, help me not to remove the ancient landmarks of old, where I've seen people walk before me with peace and victory in their souls and come to the end of the way with a testimony, I fought a good fight. I finished my course, and there's a crown waiting for me. Folks, I'm going to be real careful about plucking up those landmarks. It's important for us to understand as the Church of God that the doctrines, the standards, the teachings of the Church of God are not set by the ministers of old. It's set by the Word of God. And that's what we need to get a hold of. But I also want to have wisdom and sound judgment in my life as I'm navigating all the gray that's in the world. Lord, help me to have some boundaries that help keep the gray, keep the black out of the white, that can help clarify in my life and in my mind that which is clean and that which is unclean. You pray for me. Amen.